You know that kind of thing. That's it. That was what happened. He just said to him, I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be arrested. This will happen. Peter dreamed to decide. He said, sir, listen to me. I tell you in the name of the Lord, nothing like this will happen to you. And in case the Lord wants it to happen to you, we will fight for you. Leave the Lord out of it. You know that kind of thing. You know, no, that was what was going on. What he was saying to him, that nothing bad will happen to you. And Jesus said, this is what? Temptation. But he said, will I say, he said, look, now is my soul troubled. Remember he said that. He said, will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, but for this cause, I came to this hour. So when Peter raised that matter up that you will be delivered from this hour, he said, get behind me, Satan. You see that the real temptation was to move him away from the will of God for his life. That's real temptation. That was the only thing that made Jesus pray a kind of prayer that was full of distress. We are sure he prayed for a few hours. Enter the garden. He prayed for so long after the disciples had finished reciting the Lord's Prayer a number of times, they fell asleep. Could you not tarry with me for 1 hour? At least he was inside for 1 hour. We're sure of that. Then he came out again. They were sitting there sleeping. After a while, he abandoned them and went and prayed. And he prayed until he said, let us go. And at that time, it was getting to midnight. Why? He saw the will of God and it was not funny. But he said, we must never walk away from the will of God for our lives. And I'm telling you, no, Satan is interested in your car, your money, your house. Be praying all night because Satan is pursuing your job. I write nonsense. The only thing Satan wants from you is disobey God. That's all he wants. Disobey God. Yes, this is your current job. It's comfortable. Move away from it and move somewhere else. And you are sure this is the will of God. Omo, why go eat? Children must go to school. That's what the Bible calls mammon. Mammon is not covetousness. It's time for me to drive a brand new G-Class. No. Mammon is what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. That's what mammon is. That's what mammon is. So when the Bible says that Jesus was left, it was for a period. Until an opportune time. And what was Satan gunning for? You know, let me explain something to you about Satan. He understands what the Lord don't understand. He knows who he can kill, he knows who he can't kill. He knows who he can afflict, he knows who he can't afflict. He knows all those things. We are the ones that we get misled. Somebody ate your placenta. They didn't bury it properly. When you were born, did they use red rope to tie your cord or did they use blue rope? Please, let me use the proper way to describe all of those things. It's around nonsense. What did I call it? Nonsense. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You must understand what Satan is going for. That's what I'm making. It's not who chopped who placenta, who didn't bury it well. Which soap did they bathe you? Black soap. They bathed you with black soap. They should have used Lux. Why? Because black is this. And white, if it was white, is a piece of righteousness. That will have... Nonsense. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. We must understand what it is that Satan is gunning for. That's what I'm saying. You understand? Just disobey God. That's what he's saying. Then he will rent a room in your house. So all his temptation is disobey God. All the temptation is disobey God. That's all. That's the temptation. Even when he collects something that's precious to you, he's just hoping that after I've collected, you'll be so angry with God, you will disobey him. One, you know, there are things you hear and you'll be surprised. Maybe because I heard it after I studied the word of God for some time. One day, a man, I think his wife was in labor and then things were bad. The child died and everything. And as he was leaving the hospital, the one sister was telling me the testimony. Something in her just began to tell him about all her troubles, the troubles she's had in life and everything. And the guy paused and said, you mean you've had all these troubles in life? And she said, yes. And you are still serving God? He said, do you know as we're living there, I sworn that I won't serve God again. One picking that. Not two, not three. Not all the children of Job. The wife is still alive, can conceive. And have twins tomorrow. And the man was leaving the place, saying, I won't serve God again. One of the things I thank God for, he taught me long ago. Serving God is not for gain. It's not for gain. Even though he slays me, I will still serve him. If he beheads me, my headless body will go around preaching the gospel. If he knows how to say it, I will use sign language. No, that's the kind of commitment Christians must have. This is of tying your service to reward. It's the reason why Satan is pushing people up and down. So when you give dangerously, God will bless you dangerously. Listen, if you want to give, give. Are you getting my point? Let me say this to you directly. The blessing is not attached to the giving. I know some of you are coming for the first time, you're hearing that for the first time. I will say it again so that you won't think maybe I mistakenly said something that I didn't plan to say. I had good control of my tongue when I was saying it. The giving and the blessing are two different things. Did you hear what I said? I know the church you are coming from, they told that all your blessing, nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own. It is. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Look, listen. Don't believe a word of it. Don't believe a word of it. There are too many scriptures to show that that is not true. It said in Romans chapter 8, if he freely give us only begotten son, how much more will he freely give us all other things? That's what it says. He said, you have not because you give not. He says so. He said, because you ask not. He said, are you saying we shouldn't give? How can I say that? Am I stupid? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? No. Lack of giving is working iniquity for a believer. Because for God so loved that he gave. If you're a lover, you're a giver. He said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. If you are like God, you are a continual giver. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, hey, but people, when they don't know, they give first fruit, second fruit, third fruit, fourth fruit. At the end of the day, nothing fruits back. Ah! And they're wondering, God, did your accountant go and leave? And they're asking God, didn't you get the alert? God said, look, I got the alert. He said, Lord, how come you never return? Alpha? Because return what? The hundredfold return. On what? On the seed. So God said, which seed? The offering. The seed is the word of God. What's wrong with you? Where my money? Now listen. Where is the blessing? The blessing was bought by the blood of Jesus. Did you hear what I said? You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everyone. And it says that you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask and you don't get, check it. You did not purify your motives in your asking. Otherwise, ask and you shall receive. And your joy will be full. Say, so Lord, why do I give? Are you my child? Say, yes, sir. That's how I am. I give. For God so loved the world that he gave. For you so love people that you give to them. For you so love the advancement of the gospel, you give to support it. That's how it is. I said to you, say, are you sowing into a man of God's life? Don't sow any seed into my life. I'm begging you. Did you hear what I said? Don't, look, Pastor Banky is begging you, don't sow nothing into my life. That's why you don't give me. I didn't say so. There are only two reasons you give to a man of God. The Bible says it clearly. You give to him purely because he's a messenger of the gospel and you believe in that gospel. And number two, because he has been a blessing to you. That is, there are those, a friend of mine said the other day, he said that he wants to start a foundation for preachers. Because where he labors, he sees a lot of, he's like, I see a lot of committed people, he's a preacher too, who are committed to this gospel. They're not doing it for any other thing than the love of God and the obedience to the calling of God for their lives. He said, yet, their children will gain admission to school. The children can't go to university. And the thing grieved his heart. Say, I want to start a foundation. Of course, people will give money to it. And instantly, my wife and I discussed that this is our commitment in the first year. Most likely, I will not know any one of them. I won't know. The chances that I will know anyone that receives from that is very, very low. Even if I will meet them, he's not going to tell me this is the person. And I'm believing God will be able to raise eventually scores of millions on a yearly basis for that project. Are you getting my point? What am I getting from it? Who's discussing that? But I know how it is. Your children want to go to school. They can't go because you can't pay the fees. And it's not because you are lazy. It is because you say, this is a call of God for my life. People are departing from where you are laboring to get to where things are better, you know, financially speaking. And I've come to understand. That's why I wrote the book. Please read if you haven't read it. Who will pay for this? Listen, in life, and be careful when God is blessing you financially. You go see judgment one day. That's not it. I'm just like the day of judgment. God says, where's the money? He said, five houses in Enugu, six in Onitsha. I had one in Dubai. God just slap somebody. One. I'm telling you, angel will just go, what happened? Say, before we kill you, go back, wake up, sell all the houses, and give. You know Jesus said that? Literally. Why? That's a calling also. We just want to obey the calling of God. Say, I'm sowing a seed so I can get. I'm not sowing any seed, I'm obeying God. That's what we are saying. That is one reason you give to a man of God. And secondly, if he has been a blessing to you, I've told you here, listening to me before, that one day, I'm not joking about, in fact, I'm going to practice very soon. Let me just do one to a few people before this year is over. I'll just be passing, you know, this is where it's going eventually. I will look one day and say, see that motor. Say, Udejuku, what kind of car is that? He said, that's a Porsche Panamera, sir. How much is it? Just 25 million. I said, okay, you, call to other people. I want it next week. It's my birthday.
Amen.
Yes. So I knew you when you were in school. I knew when the word of God was delivering you from trouble, and I was the one preaching it. Now that you are flying all over the place, you think I should be walking all over the place? No, I've told you, look, listen, one of the ones that I hope will happen one day, somebody will call me one day and say, sir, come for dedication. Come and dedicate something. I'll go reach there. What is it, private jet? Everybody stretch forth your hand towards this plane. May it not fly for the next 1 week in Jesus' name. May the tires burst. Nothing will happen. No, this plane is grounded. We hereby ground this. We ground it right now. We ground it right now. Right now. You are grounded. Mr. Pastor, what is going on? I say, you are very stupid. You buy private jet. Where's my private car? Where's my private BMW? Where's my private Mercedes Benz? I'm not asking for a private jet. Go and get me two private jeeps, my friend. And if you fly this plane until that day, I'm not talking anything here, so. Why? It's in the scriptures. Paul said that, how can I minister spiritual things to you, producing fruit, and not go chop my portion? Say, what thing happened? Listen, my brethren, those are the two reasons I'm aware of that you give to a man of God. All this sowing into his life, don't sow into my life. You will reap what you don't want to. That is a fact. Listen, when you do things like this, Satan cannot. Look, what is he going to tell you? Are you getting my point? What is he going to tell you? So you have served God, he hasn't blessed you back. Say, listen, my friend, I'm serving God because he bought me. I'm his property, in case you don't know it. I'm his property. Properties are not allowed to demand anything. The word in the scripture is slave. When you see, can you just say servant? What Paul said is slave, born slaves. We serve God because we own him, he owns us. That is, you can give everything. God said, okay, from here, walk to the other end naked. See, Lord, I just sewed clothes. Yes, that's the idea. You don't sew them. So go naked. It's called godliness with contentment. Contentment means whatever I have done, I'm ready for life to just be like that. I had 10,000, I gave 5,000, I had better be ready to manage 5,000. It's called godliness with contentment. That way, listen, Satan cannot come and be telling you nonsense. After all the shit you have shown, She, nothing is happening now. This gospel is not true. They might forget this. They better be, you better be sharp like everybody else. Go and connect. You know what you mean. You just connect. We've been sowing. What's been going on right now? Nothing. And this is where we give Satan strength. You know, he now has words to speak, to be proven to us. Do you know, when he came to Job, that was the issue. So I know Job has been giving because of what he's going to get. Stop giving him now. You'll see that he won't give again. God says, it's not true. He said, I know human beings. Oh. I know them more than you. They are not loyal. It's God's what you are giving him. I know there are temptations that God will not even let come near a lot of Christians today. If he comes to God, Satan will come to God and say, this brother has been giving you God what he's going to get. God say, me too, I know. It's two of us. We know. Let me remove you from him. Say, no, don't remove it. If you remove it, hey. He will just deny you. I know, for goodness sake. Stop saying it. Must you rub it in? But after a while, we have to grow. Are you getting my point? We have to grow. It gets to a particular place. Satan will come and say, he has grown. I have to tempt him. And God will say, yes, because he's a righteous God. Yes. That's why anybody listening to me for a while, I'm sure you don't do nonsense giving. When you need to give, you just give. Expecting nothing in return. You say, yeah, you're saying that if I don't expect, I won't get. You're not expecting based on what you give. You're expecting based on what Jesus gave. That's it. And listen, what Jesus has given on your behalf, in a million years, you can't match it. If you like, work morning, afternoon, and night, collect the whole thing, give everything. You can't match it in a million years. And he says, listen, just draw on the one that I have given. You know, something happened the other day in my house. Very beautiful illustration. My son gathered some money. I've forgotten where he got it from. After when my wife was saying that, the way this boy is gathering money these days, just come, just see 50 naira. Okay, this person gave me 5 naira. He's gathering the money. That's Victory, my youngest son. So one day he gathered some money. I think the money must have been plenty. A lot of money, maybe like 150. I gave him 50 naira. And he was holding it with pride, with joy, that this money is my own. So he was like, okay, what? And I asked, what are you going to buy with it? Are you getting my point? I forgot where we come to, but a revelation just came to me. I said, this is how we behave as children of God. I said, this money cannot pay a fraction of his school fees. If I take him and his siblings to ShopRite once, I know how much it drops. Let him gather like this for the next 50 years. You are getting what I'm saying? Keep gathering like this. If I buy you a complete suit of clothes, all you're gathering for 5 years is complete. The food where they work, are you getting my point? On a daily basis. Not to talk about the house. If I calculate the portion of your, you know, that you are using the house, and then you're going to go to school. If you fall ill and I have to buy medicine, so all these 5 naira, 10 naira you are gathering. Maybe I now come and say, this one is my own. You know, I looked at it and said, well, what would this one affect in this home? Not to even talk about where he's gathering it from. Where? Is it not his mother? His mother's friend? Do you understand what I'm saying? Where is he gathering it from? And that's what we do as Christians. So maybe he wants to go to ShopRite and says, Daddy, I have money. How much is it, Vic? It's plenty now. How much? Maybe like 180 now. 180. All right? Then we'll get to ShopRite. Okay, come, let's go. You want to pay when you get to ShopRite? No problem. Let's get there. What will you want? I want Snickers. Okay, collect Snickers. What else? I like ice cream. Pick it. No problem. Nothing spoiled. Pick. What else? I want bread. Collect. Drink. Collect. Get to the tea lawyer. When they machine everything, you look at this. Okay, everything is $2,350. Daddy. Now, I'll say very simply, you should not have come to ShopRite because you gathered money. Should have come to ShopRite and said, Daddy, please, I need to go to ShopRite. I want some things there. And I will have taken you to ShopRite, and whether you gathered or not, you will have eaten and you will have been satisfied. Why? My name is Daddy, Abba Father. Hey, that is scripture. But Christians, we do the other way around. I'm giving this. And Jesus said, I have given everything. I have given everything for you. Every single thing. So why do you serve him? Simply because while he was giving you everything, he also bought you entirely. The word redemption is not freedom, it's purchase. I don't speak Greek much. Let me speak small Greek today. I know a bit of it. The word redemption in the Greek is ex agorazo. Agora. You've heard of agoraphobia? Yes, the fear of the open. Literally in Greek, it means the fear of the marketplace. Agora is the Greek word for market. That is, God went to the market and paid and took you out of the market. Anytime you go to the market, maybe you go, you take a pair of shoes. You know it's not free. You know it's not free. When you take the shoes, you give them what? Money. And the shoes become what? Yours. You were in the market of sin. Satan was Lord. Then Jesus came with the power of his blood. He paid. He didn't collect you and throw you away. He took you and took you home. And you became his own. That's why I said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15, he said he died for all. That those who live will no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. That's why you have no choice but to serve God. Like Kirk Ramsey says, you are GP. You know what's GP? God's property. That's what it is. That's how we serve God. But we are not serving him to get anything. When we want to get, we ask. When we want to get, what do? We ask. Let me get back to my message. And what is the message? That let's not give Satan, all right, power in our lives. We're not thinking God has disappointed because you did something for him. Say, no, no. God said, no, I don't play that game. No. Don't let Satan have words to speak in your life because he's going after your faith. If you have that kind of mindset, that your faith easily gets at it. That sister said that there. She was walking out of that place with that brother. The brother looked at him. Like, how can God let this happen? Because after everything I've done for him. And the sisters, she didn't even know what was going on in his mind. She just said to him, look at what the challenges I've had. And the guy looked at him and said, what? And you are still excited like this about serving the Lord? He said, do you know, as I was walking away from that clinic, all I was saying that, God, you've done me like this, I'm through with you. But like Job says, even though he slays me, yet I will trust him. Satan lost entirely in Job's life. Entire losing. That's what Satan is going after. That is what he's going after. That is what he's going after, and we must never let him get it. We must never let him get it. Let's just finish reading this and then. Okay, I think we have finished reading that. Maybe I just saw the time has really, really gone, so I think it's time for me to close. For today, we'll finish. I thought we'll end it today, but we didn't end it, so we'll finish it next time. I hope it's okay with you. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So, you see, therefore, like I was saying, what Satan is going for is that disobedience to God. Is that disobedience? It comes with accusation. There's another scripture we should remember. We should read that one now, and then I'll finish it. I'll add it to what we have read now, but then we'll now finish all the talk next time. Ephesians chapter 6, quickly. We know what Satan is going after. How do we stop him? We read this one to point out how Jesus stopped him. Each particular time, what he said is, it is written. He gave a scripture. He gave the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, another very, very popular scripture in Christianity. We'll start from verse 10. Let me just read it briefly and then we'll finish it next time. He said, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take this helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let me stop there in verse 17. Now, I'm going to expound these things further to see how we use them, all right, to tackle the Satan in our lives, the devil in our lives. One thing I just want to bring out from this, adding to that Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, the same thing, temptations of Jesus Christ that we read, is to bring out the fact that every realm has its weapons. Every realm has what? Its own weapons, yes. Every realm has its weapons. And one thing he said, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and all of that. You will see these are spiritual weapons. And he said, the sword of the spiritual realm. Paul said that in the realm of the Spirit, the sword, all right, that we use there are words. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Yes. That what we use in the realm of the Spirit, when you are fighting there, the words are the swords that you use. And as a Christian, the words are not just simple words, but what? The word of God. That is, words are the swords of the Spirit. Not anger. Not determination. You must understand that. The sword in the realm of the Spirit is words. And as a Christian, our weapons are mighty through God. So, we use the word of God as our sword. That's what it is. So, when we want to handle the devil, when we want to hack him down, it's not just by shouting, devil, I hack you, I hack you, I hack you. What is it in the Bible that devil, you are hacked, you are hacked? That's not the word of God. That's when Jesus wanted to tackle him, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's a word. That's a word. That's a word. When life tries to turn you around, make you do the opposite, take the thing that is the word of God and begin to utter it. I didn't talk about sin, all right? But I mentioned it briefly at the beginning. All right? What is sin? Disobedience to the word of God. That's all it is. And doubt, you know, let me say something to you as I close. Doubt doesn't mean I don't want to believe. Like, oh boy, how now? Today, I no go agree. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why now? I'm not in a believing mood. People think that's what doubt is. That's not what doubt is. Doubt is the argument that makes obedience to the word of God unreasonable. That's what doubt is. Come and take the promised land. Yes, we want the promised land. Oh, good. We have left Egypt. We are going to the promised land. Thank God, promised land. Now let's enter. What? See giants? Eh? But we enter. No! Can't you see we are like grasshoppers in their eyes? The guy even a yimu to me, thinking I'm a grasshopper. And the moment I saw him, I felt like a grasshopper. My brother, I've never felt so small in my life. Okay, let's just enter. God delivered us so we can enter. Are you stupid? You have not addressed the grasshopper and the giant matter. This is a land that eats up the inhabitants. But God said we can enter. You know, this is a problem I have with this Caleb. Caleb has always been like this when in secondary school. He never faces reality. Doubt is not just I sit down and I'm complacent. I don't want to believe anything. Doubt is I have chosen something which is real in my eyes, which I believe, which operating by it means I have to disobey the word of God. That's what doubt is. It is that there is something that says you can't believe. I told you once, a friend of mine, no, let me tell you something, doubt is always beautiful. When I say beautiful now, it sounds nice to the ears. It's only when you put it against the word of God that there's a problem. Once, you know the way I talk, you've heard me talk for a long time, you know, I've talked like this for a very, very long time. Not today, long ago. When I was staying in one tiny quarters, you know, in Luth, one small room there, a friend of mine came once and we were talking about the country and everything. And I shared my opinion and stuff like that, and he said something to me. He said that, no, you know, you are lucky. You see, you've gone far. And he was he's my age mate. We knew as children, but he did another degree before he studied medicine, so by the time I was a senior registrar, he was just finishing house job, you know, stuff like that. So he was saying, you have gone far. He said, but listen. He said, you remember, you know my younger sister? And I said, I do. He said, remember, he said, maybe what you don't know, she has a congenital heart defect. I said, what? I never knew. And he said, yes, so you know she has to have surgery eventually. I said, that's true. Somebody has to come up with the money. He said, that is it. Oh. So that yeah, the way he has strategized life, he explained that, no, I'm okay. That no, I've gone far. And, as he was talking, all I was thinking about is man of faith, man of selfishness. I don't know whether I get the point. I was yapping myself. Oh. That all this while you've been talking faith and all of that, you've not considered the impact these your decisions are having on the needs of other people. Jesus. And he was explaining these things. And I remember that night, I can't remember whether I cried, but I felt bad. And I laid down. Yes, you can suffer alone. Countries like this, yeah, you are believing God. Things are going to the idea. You know, people are making moves. No, I'm one guy. As a young boy, my friends were doing it. I'm one guy who never made a move to go abroad, to leave the country. Not because I didn't believe good things, you know, were happening there, you know. I laid down at night, and I remember I felt bad. That you look at it. You don't understand. There are other people that are involved in this, your decisions. But look at him now. And I laid down. I remember very well. And the Holy Spirit spoke up. He said, except, it was a scripture. He said, except a man hates his father and mother and brothers and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. Some scriptures are real. You know what God was saying? If that was your sister, listen to me. Do you think you love her more than I do? You will not make any decision in your life that will go against the call I have for you because you want to help people. I remember very well that day. That day as I laid down despondent, like I felt very stupid. Then the Holy Spirit just whispered it to me. Except a man hates his father and his mother and his brothers and his sisters, he cannot be my disciple. So I realized that we are talking discipleship here. You see what that is? That is very reasonable. So a man came to Jesus and said, I will follow you. Let me go home and first bury my father. I learned, you know, I was studying, and somebody explained that don't think his father was dead and was in a mortuary. His father wasn't dead. His father was old. So he said, let me go home and stay with my father, take care of him until he dies. Then I will now be free. I cannot come and follow you. And Jesus said, there's no problem. You can go wherever you want to go. But remember, it's only the dead that should be burying their own corpses. That's a literal Greek. And so if anyone puts his hand to the plow and he looks back, he cannot be my disciple. That the discipleship can be costly. It can be costly. It can be costly. It can be costly. I'm not explaining the issue that doubt is not just I'm not in the believing mood. Doubt is that I have reasons why I can't believe. And you have to understand, those reasons are very serious. So I can't believe now. But that doesn't make it less sinful to disbelieve. Do you understand my point? So when Satan, that's what Satan does, he rides on the doubts, those arguments. And this is the only way we fight him. We don't come and start saying, no, it doesn't matter. We just have to serve God still. I don't know whether I get the point. It's not rationalization, we rationalize it away. No. This one I like about Christianity and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us when we draw near, all right, to the throne of grace. It is not about arguing. It is about we just get there. This is a fight against Satan. Like I told you, what came to my heart that day, and I repeated the scripture. Except a man hates his father and his mother and his brothers and his sisters, he cannot be my disciple. We don't feel like it. I don't feel like hating anybody. And the word hatred is not as if stab somebody. You get my point? Say, I hate you so much, I'll kill you. No. It's a relative terminology. That is, because of my love for the Lord, it makes my behavior towards other people sometimes appear like hatred. So, what do I do about it? I don't rationalize about it. Let me give another very good example. Maybe you're in a house, husband and wife, very good one to learn. The Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And your wife is there's master misbehavior. This woman knows how to misbehave. So people now start rationalizing. When the Bible says submit unto your husband, it means if he's reasonable and he's submittable to. A man cannot be making wrong decisions. And no, then in fact, one woman quoted scripture for my wife one day. My wife was humble, you know, in quotes. My wife came home. I said, my husband, please, I don't understand. I heard the word today. I know I'm a big woman. Let me summarize it that the woman was saying that Sarah was stupid. Yes, that's the summary. If you see, Sarah was not that kind of woman that understood that this is a strong woman cannot be like Sarah. Sarah, you're on your own. That's always my best example. So what do I do when the man is not reasonable? I don't try and do anything. I just take a scripture. Because that's where Satan rides. You must understand. When Satan wants to ruin your children, that's where it comes from. I remember I told you some time ago, you're a gatekeeper in your home. So how do I ward him off? I just simply say it. Wives, be submissive. How did you say again? So be subject to your husband as unto the Lord. Period. But he's a very, very unreasonable and very stupid and very selfish man. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. And be like your mother, no, is it mother now? Sarah, who called her husband Lord. So I just quote that scripture as is against the feeling of your body. The man too, the same thing. It's against the feeling. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Stupid woman. Wait. No. Love, are you getting my point? Love your wives. That is, are you saying something? You're not trying to be reasonable about it. What are you doing? Uttering words. It's not psychological warfare. It is warfare in the spirit. Those words are, they are cutting things. They are cutting things. And you are cutting somebody, actually. That's Satan. You are jabbing him. He's moving back. You are jabbing him. He's moving back. You are jabbing him. He's moving back. Satan does not go back by being reasonable. This is what I mean by being reasonable. This calling. You know what we're going to do? We will first settle my father and my mother. Then we'll be free. Then we'll not serve God fully. That's being reasonable. Are you getting my point? Say, listen, let me just make sure that I've saved up enough money and I can enter the ministry full time. That way, I won't have to beg anybody for money. Pride. But it's very reasonable, isn't it? Listen, that ministry is founded upon the arrangement with the devil. Yes. The guy is going to have serious problems in ministry. He won't know why. It's because he and Satan agreed on how to start. Let me first take care of the worldly matters before I obey God. Let me make sure that my father is not angry. I build him a house first. When I finish that, said to my mother, get them enough shares in GTB that the dividends can keep them. Then I can go into the ministry. That is loving Jesus last. What did I call it? In case you do not know, that is called walking with Satan. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I have taken more time than I should. Let me close immediately. Let's just rise to our feet quickly. I hope you are blessed today. I hope you are blessed. Don't forget, take your copies of the seeds of your destiny, Secrets and Truths for March. Quickly, let us do this and we are out of here. There is one confession that we have in that. I wrote an article in there, praying in the name of Jesus. Let us just quickly, because it's in line with some of the things I taught this evening, let's just take it quickly. And we'll be out of here. Everybody, please say after me. Say, I declare that I have been saved by grace alone. And not by any works that I did. My faith is in the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. I have been made righteous by faith. Faith in Jesus alone. Say it again. All my sins are forgiven. God looks towards me with favor. He doesn't see any sin in me. Say, God has translated me from the domain of darkness. He has made me a citizen of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Say, in him I have redemption, the forgiveness of my sins. Say, Father, we thank you. Just praise the Lord. Just say, Father, we thank you for this night's meeting, for your word that came for today, in the name of Jesus Christ. Say this as we depart. Say, all my needs are met. All my diseases are healed. My life is secure. My future is bright. My family is blessed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's share the grace as we close.
because of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out from darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Amen. That last line again, personal. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.